Get the eRadio SA app right now for free on the Google Play Store. Entertainment Radio on the go.
Well, yes, it is now time, being 2 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon, time for Tech Thursdays with Clint from Anywhere IT. It's a very good afternoon to you, Clint.
Good afternoon, Ewan. How are you doing?
Excellent, excellent. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you very much. Jeez, I almost swore there on your radio station. How
hectic. Oh, it's all right. Tell me, Clint, how's your week been?
Yeah, it's been good. I've had some interesting calls and been dealing with some of the issues that we're going to be discussing today on radio. So, yeah, very good. It's been a nice busy day, busy week. How are you doing?
I like that. No, very, very stressful, actually. A lot of things going on behind the scenes, but they're good things at least. So,
it's a good thing. You're certainly playing good music on the radio, Ewan, so that's all.
Thank you so much, Clint. That's very, very kind of you. Listen, Clint, today we're talking about antivirus software for your computer and all that jazz.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are indeed. So today, what I've decided to speak about is the different types of viruses that you get, as well as the pros and cons of paid versus free antivirus. And also, I have been doing a little bit of research on how the built-in Windows Defender of Windows 10 compares to some of the antivirus packages out there, and specifically the free version. So, Yeah, that's pretty much what we're going to be discussing today.
Okay, yeah, that's going to be interesting because I have Windows Defender, so I'd love to know how it's matching up.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, obviously it's a problem.
Yeah. Not the best option, Jan.
I had Avast. It was just too heavy for my system. But anyway, let's hear what you have to say this afternoon. What do you want to talk about first?
So, Jan, the first thing that I thought we would talk about is the different types of viruses that one experiences, okay? And in particular, we're going to be speaking about malware and phishing. So, malware is short for malicious software, and it is any type of software that is intentionally designed to cause damage to your computer. So it could be a computer virus, it could be a computer worm, it could be Trojan horses, it could be ransomware, spyware, adware, all fall under the category of malware. And then we've got phishing. So phishing is a fraudulent attempt to obtain sensitive data, such as your usernames and passwords, credit card details, disguises itself as a trustworthy entity in some form of electronic communication, such as emails and WhatsApps. You know, we always get these emails coming through, your details have changed, for your banking details have changed, or SARS needs to update your details. All of those fall under the category of phishing, and they will either come through via via an email, and often these days also WhatsApp messages are becoming quite good at for phishing attempts to get your data.
Sure. So you click on a link, and that just opens up a door to lots of bad things.
Yeah, I've had some fun with these. You know, I've got quite a few clients that are on contract with us, and often when I tell them that anything that looks semi-suspicious, forward it to me, and I will have a look at it. I've got built-in security in my machine. I don't use Windows Defender, so I can open it and I can have a look, see what's going on. You know, and I've had fun with some of these. You know, some of the SARS ones, and there's also near Microsoft one saying that your Microsoft account details have changed. And you go in there and you can put anything. I mean, I was playing with Roger Rabbit at rogerrabbit.co.za and putting in the weirdest wonderful password, and it comes up, oh, your password is incorrect, please try again. You know, so you can very quickly pick up when these things are, you know, all they are trying to do is they're just busy capturing your data. That's all they're trying to do. That's phishing for you. So on malware, the different types of malware that we can discuss are the computer viruses, your worms, your Trojan horses, ransomware, spyware, and adware. So if you'd like, we can discuss that in a bit more detail, starting with computer viruses. computer viruses. Oh goodness, I've lost my stuff. Sorry, Ewan, just bear with me a sec.
So how do I know I have a virus? How would I know that I have a virus on my computer? Let's say there's no pop-up or something. How would I know that there's actually a virus inside the computer?
Sometimes it's very hard to say, Ewan. I mean, a lot of your type of viruses, you could have something like a spyware that is just hanging around in the background and is busy feeding data off to whoever's developed that software.
Sure.
You know? And until you actually start doing virus scans, you won't know what's going on in the background. You know, a lot of computer viruses you will find, they tend to slow your computer down quite That's significantly. It. You'll start to see strange behavior. You might open your browser and it starts to open up very strange web pages and the likes, you know.
I've had that before. So, it was terrible. Downloaded some kind of software and then with it came all these little bugs who infiltrated my browser. And then every time I opened the browser, all these websites would pop up. And we're talking porn sites and, oh God, it was terrible. But...
And that's probably something else that one should actually mention. In those instances, a lot of times when you're downloading software, you know, we tend to find the free software, but with a lot of the free software, the developers tend to add additional third-party programs, and these are known as they're called PUPs for short, potentially unwanted programs.
Uh-huh.
And you'll find that you've downloaded this program because you wanted to use it for a specific purpose, and suddenly you've got two or three or four different programs on there, and they're making your machine behave badly. They'll slow your machine down, or they've got these little pop-ups coming up with AdWords trying to sell you stuff. You know, it can be quite a mindful when working on your computer and navigating through all of these different issues that you can experience and identify or not identify as viruses. You know, so. Yeah, it's very, very challenging and very, very tricky. But, Ewan, so just on that, you know, I'd like to move on to speaking about the paid and the free and your Windows Defender, which you're currently using. It's really, really cool. We've got to put you on something different.
You sound like my doctor.
Well, you know, Windows 10 has made significant advances in its Windows Defender. Previously, you know, they originally released it with the Windows 8, and before that it was part of what they used to call Windows Essentials, you know, with Windows 7. But from Windows 8, they released the first built-in Windows Defender, and with Windows 10, they've made some significant improvements. It does do some good real-time scanning. It does do some malware protection, and it certainly does some ransom. These days, they've now included the ransomware protection as well. But it doesn't compare favorably with any of your free antivirus, third-party antiviruses, and it certainly doesn't compare favorably with any of the paid versions either. It's on the up and up, but it's certainly got a long way to go.
Sure, you would think that they would at least supply decent antivirus software with Windows.
No, well, the protection, so the antivirus protection that they've got built in is fairly decent. But one of the problems that they have is they don't, like you, if you look at any of your other antivirus programs, you almost have engine updates daily, you know.
Yeah.
Now, with Windows 10 and with their built-in Windows Defender, that's not happening. So the updates are not coming through. The protection updates are not coming through as frequently as any of the other antivirus programs. And that, I think, is one of its biggest vulnerabilities. You know, the viruses, when they get released, if the guys are not on top of them very, very, very quickly, it's going to cause damage to your computers. And so that's where I think that Windows Defender is certainly has its biggest weakness.
Sure. So the Windows Defender updates, they usually come with the Windows updates themselves, right?
With the Windows 10 update. So what Windows Defender does have is it has a cloud-based virus library which means that it can access, it can reference for new viruses a lot quicker. You know, with your antivirus, most of your antivirus programs will download the latest updates onto your computer, whereas Windows Defender is cloud based as far as that virus library is concerned. So from that perspective, it makes it quicker than a lot of antiviruses, but it certainly is not. It's certainly way more vulnerable.
Now, the million-dollar question: what is your number one choice when it comes to antivirus software, and do I need to pay for it?
Yes. So, Ewan, so I was expecting this question to come our way, and so I did a lot of research before this to see what's out there and what people are recommending as the number one antivirus at the moment. And I can tell you that depending on the website that you go to, and their own personal preference is what you're going to see as a number one. There's just nothing that is clearly standing out above any of the others. I think Bitdefender at the moment is probably the one that's been most prominent with all of the research that I've been doing, because Kaspersky also comes in very well. My own personal favorite is ESET. And then from a free version, I would recommend Kaspersky as their free version of antivirus. They are prominent on all of the websites. They don't feature as high as I'd like to see them feature. They used to be a lot better. But their free version is a lot better than your AVOS and your AVGs and everything else like that. Okay. Another thing to consider is that something like AVOS has now is allegedly selling user data. So that's probably going out the window. And on top of that, AVG is a subsidiary of AVOS. So what? AVOS and AVG. Yeah. Also, that was something new that I found out quite recently. And, just based on that, I will no longer recommend AWAST or AVG to anybody. Total AV is one of the best free ones around at the moment. And like I say, Kaspersky's free version is also doing pretty well. Malwarebytes is another good one, but the only problem with Malwarebytes is once its trial version has expired, it doesn't offer real-time protection, which is what you need. And that's another thing also about Windows Defender. So all of your antivirus programs, depending on your browser, would add a browser extension. So when you go into websites and those kind of things, it adds that built-in protection into your browser. Windows Defender only has that protection built into its Microsoft browser. So in other words, Microsoft Edge or Internet Explorer. If you're using something like Google Chrome, Brave, Mozilla Firefox, or anything like that using Windows Defender, you are not protected real-time on your website protection and your browsing protection.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm. Live and learn, eh?
I love it. Listen, I'm actually making a note here. Obviously, I need to do some fine-tuning here, and I'll be downloading Kaspersky after today's show. Yeah. Would that make you happy?
It would make me happier. Or have a look at Total AV. Total AV is certainly starting to make headlines nowadays as far as one of the top three versions of antivirus.
Total AV.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay, we must maybe include these links also below the podcast for the people to check out, and maybe they're also not happy with their antivirus software.
Absolutely. And I mean anybody that's on AVOS will tell you straight away the amount of pop-ups that you get on AVOS and AVG is just ridiculous. You can hardly do your work properly these days with their pop-ups, and they'll come up and they'll tell you, oh, but your computer needs this and your computer needs that, and the moment that you click on it, oh, but you have to pay for it. So it's becoming a very pointless exercise using AVOS or AVG.
Yeah, and you don't want one that's nagging all the time. I mean, if it wants to update, just update. I once had one of my very first jobs, I had one of these antivirus programs. I can't remember what it was or if it was AVG or whatever, but it actually started talking to me, and that I was like, no, now you're actually going, now I'm deleting you. Really, I don't want to chat, with a bloody bot.
I think it was AVG.
I'm pretty sure it was. It was nagging me. I thought I was married at one stage.
I remember it freaked me out the first time it happened as well. Good to see that they've actually discontinued the whole voice operated thing.
Like hello, hello and stuff. No, 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 no hellos. I'm busy.
Buggers.
Yes, like it. No, man. That's not cool. So, do your thing in the background.
Excuse me?
No, I'm saying the antivirus should just do its thing in the background.
Exactly that, Jan. And so that's why I would suggest going with the Kaspersky or the Total AV, especially if you want to use the free stuff. And there is not that much. You know, the free stuff does give you sufficient protection if you're not a heavy browser. If you are a heavy browser, that you, as long as you're maintaining basic websites, sites that you're familiar with, sites that you go to regularly, the free version, and as long as you're using one of the free versions that does offer real-time protection, will give you a sufficient amount of protection.
Mm-hmm.
It's only when you start to, when you're really starting to mess around, or when you're in a situation like I am, where I'm doing a lot of scans for clients, and I'm doing a lot of, research, I get a lot of queries for, is this phishing, is this spam, is this a virus? There's no ways that I would not use a paid antivirus if I'm a business owner where I've got multiple computers, where you know that you're on the internet on a regular basis, you know that you're using cloud-based computing. You know, it's very important to realize that. Well, I think the most important thing to think about is your data. How important is your data to you?
If your data, you're right. You should always ask yourself, you know, if all my data had to disappear right now, do I have backup? And can I go on with my job or my life for that matter? And if the answer is no, which it probably will be, then you've got a problem. You also need proper backup. By the way, we must make notes and maybe talk about backup at some stage. I think that's a really good topic. Yeah, let's talk about that.
For next week, John.
Yeah, do you want to do that? Let's do that next week. We'll talk about backup.
Yep. Already noted.
Yeah, because when my laptop was stolen, boy, do you think I had backup? Oh, hell no. I was in a load of trouble. But you live and you learn, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one can never have enough backups. You know, there's various means of doing backups. But we'll get into that in more detail next week for sure.
Can't wait.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's pretty much everything that I've got here, Jan. I don't know if there's anything you'd like to ask or anything that further that I can advise on. Other than I've also made a brief note about spam. Although not virusy, spam, I've put it down just as a definition of one of the types of things that can be causing problems on your computers. And spam is just really is the sending of unsolicited emails, you know, for advertising goods, promoting business, and in a lot of instances, advertising offensive material. So, you know, there are all of these horrible things that come through on your computer, and people, you know, you get these emails, all this porn and stuff, and people think that the machines have been hacked or they've been infected, when in fact it's just simply they've been spammed by some person.
Oh gosh, I must tell you about my experiences with that one day. That will be a show on its own. Anyway, we'll talk about that. And also, I love the topic for next week. I love how it just originates from our program, and we just know what we're going to talk about next week. It kind of just flows, yeah. So we'll talk about backup next week. Just lastly, Clint, I think a lot of people are wondering, you know, I maybe have a virus on my computer. I have reason to believe that there's a virus on my computer, and I can't remove it by myself. So can you help me, Clint?
Certainly can. So viruses is definitely one of the things that we can remove online via our remote support systems. But if you would like to have a go at viruses yourself, you know, I always recommend Malwarebytes as a scanner. Just to download Malwarebytes and to do a scan with Malwarebytes. Malwarebytes are found to be very, very effective as a scanner. You know, and it's a fairly small download. It's a very simple program to run. pulls up your scanner and you can scan and you can quarantine. But when if you do suspect that you've got viruses on your machine, by all means, we're the right people to get hold of. We will scan and we'll go through all of the processes of cleaning it up, getting your services back to normal. Because a lot of times with certain viruses, what they'll do is they will stop certain services so that your machine is not performing properly and the rest of it. So it's very important to get those services running again. And we try as far as possible to avoid the whole format, backup format and reload when it comes to viruses. But in some instances, there's not too much that one can do other than to redo a machine, depending on the depth of the virus. You know, you've got viruses that can affect your BIOS, your startup of your computer. You've got viruses that can affect your Windows. It's not just your operating system that can be affected. Some of these things can be so malicious that you switch on your computer, you can't switch your computer back on again.
Can I ask you a question? Maybe it's just my imagination, but I have a question. Do you actually know if it's possible that you can design a virus that makes a computer explode or burst into flames? Is that possible? Or is that just me watching CSI Cyber?
Yeah, Ian. My level of programming doesn't allow me to create anything that's going to blow up. they could certainly do things like they could hack some of. I mean, you've got on your computer and your laptop, you've got certain chips that are programmable. Okay. Previous days, many years ago, before the days of Windows and stuff, we used to work with things called boot ROMs. And a boot ROM was a programmable chip that one would program, and you could set it up to do various functions so that you could get into, you know, so when you're working with things like, we would call them dumb terminals. They didn't have any hard drives or anything. So they operated, we would configure, we'd program this boot ROM, and it would take it to a very specific place on a server, set up your menus and everything else, and you could then work from there. So, you know, based on that kind of information, you can certainly program chips to do certain things. So you could do certain things, you could probably overclock with your programming, and that could lead to overheating and fires and stuff. But maliciously, I'm not so sure. I haven't watched enough CSI to be able to tell you.
No, I was just wondering. I'm glad I'm glad it came to my mind now, because I'm just wondering. Actually, that was in CSI Cyber. I don't know if you've seen it, but there was this computer. Everything was connected to the internet. It was like a smart house, and then everything just started erupting into flames because somebody was obviously trying to get back at the people, and they used their online thing because all their devices were connected.
Program that to like short circuit things and do some weird and what
that's what was happening.
Certainly never heard of a computer, and certainly not on my watch has a computer ever burnt or blown up because of a virus.
Not yet.
No, not yet. Never say never.
Jeez, Clint, thanks so much. Listen, how do we get in touch with you?
So, Jan, you can get hold of us multiple ways. Our telephone number is 044-011-0090. Our website address, www.anywhereit.co.za. You can search for us on Facebook, Anywhere IT. Or you can contact me on my cell on 081-555-0087.
Give us your number again.
081. Mm-hmm. 555-0087.
That's it. And next week we'll talk about backup. Clint, thank you so much, and you enjoy the rest of your Thursday afternoon. May it be virus free.
Yeah, may it be. Thank you so much, Ian. Thank you for allowing me onto your show. I really enjoy our chat.
As always, till next week, next Thursday at 2:00. Cheers, man.
Awesome.
Take care.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.